Morning. Today's scripture is Matthew 11, 2 to 11. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing what he was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And I just lost it. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look for? A reed shaken by the wind? What then? Did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look at those wearing soft robes are in a royal place, royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, it is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." God bless the servant.
Please pray with me. O God of wisdom, you delight in deep truth. Let these words of scripture teach our hearts that we may hear your joy and gladness. For the sake of Christ, your wisdom for us. Amen. Sometimes I feel really dumb. There are a lot of really, just incredibly intelligent people out there. And they seem to know everything. I've been in classes with people who are so smart, I wonder how I was even invited to be into that room. These are people that seem to be able to easily grasp these really complicated concepts. And they have solutions, seemingly, to every problem. I'm simultaneously in awe of and feel incredibly inadequate next to people like this. Like John the Baptist. He knew Jesus was Jesus before he was even born. John leapt in Elizabeth's womb when she greeted Mary because he knew something was special within her. John dedicated his whole life to preparing the way of the Lord. Living in the wilderness, preaching and teaching about God and the coming kingdom of heaven, introducing people to Jesus, baptizing him, going to prison for him. So it comes as a bit of a surprise when we see John asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we supposed to wait for another?" I don't know about you, but it makes me feel a lot better about not knowing the answer or not being able to comprehend the concept. If John the Baptist, the smartest kid in class, is questioning Jesus' messiahship, maybe it's okay if sometimes I do too. Is Jesus the real thing? Has the church really gotten a hold of something that matters? Or is this business of Christmas and its Christ just a fanciful tale? Charming, right? But ultimately powerless against the forces that dampen hopes and deaden dreams? That's a pretty dangerous question. It's pretty dangerous for me to stand up here and tell you that I have that question sometimes. Is Jesus the real thing? I mean, I'm dedicating my life to spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we often think of real people of faith, real people with real spiritual depth. They never ask this question. There's a fear that just asking implies weakness and doubt, that asking makes us appear faithless. But you know what? There were a lot of people who historically, like physically, literally encountered Jesus in the flesh, who were really confused about who Jesus was. Real people who walked and talked and were healed by Jesus. They were confused by this man. It happens over and over throughout the Gospels. And at one point, Jesus even asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And then John the Baptist, who just last week said, in reference to Jesus, "One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals." That John is feeling unsure. What changed? Well, for one thing, John is now a political prisoner. And when our settings and our circumstances change, we tend to have a different perspective on things. John is no longer in the wide open, sun-filled, fresh-aired wilderness with lines of people coming to him to be baptized in the Jordan River. He's now held captive, distanced from others, confined to a dark, barren, stifled cell. He's in a different kind of desert now. He's no longer prophesying, but questioning. "Are you the one that we're looking for?" He's wondering if he's made a terrible mistake. Should we be looking for someone else? Something just didn't add up for John. Something Jesus was doing, it just didn't seem quite right. It wasn't what John was expecting. It didn't fit his idea of the Messiah. Jesus wasn't acting the way that John thought the Savior would act. And in that context, John's question actually makes a lot of sense. There were a lot of different ideas at the time about what the coming Messiah would look like. Some people expected the Messiah would be religious, a religious Messiah that would come and purify, cleanse the temple. Others looked for a military Messiah with might and who would liberate Israel through warfare, reestablish David's kingdom. The Messiah that John was looking for wasn't fitting the theology. So John wondered, are you the one we're looking for? John's questions are actually free of preconceptions. He could have tried to force Jesus into one of those models of messiahship, with questions like, he could have asked, like, "Hey, when are you going to act against the Romans? Or, when are you going to do something to fix that corruption in the temple? Instead, John left it to Jesus and said, tell me who you are. And Jesus' answer subverted everyone's expectations. Jesus is like, hey, I can't answer for you. You have to decide on your own whether I'm for real. So take a look at the evidence. What do you see? And Jesus pointed out that the works he had been performing throughout Galilee reflected the prophecy of Isaiah. Interestingly, Isaiah doesn't actually speak of the Messiah. Rather, it speaks of God himself coming down to Israel to heal the blind, to help the lame walk, to help the deaf hear, to free poor people from their slavery. It's God who's at work through Jesus' ministry. John's question is the question that's at the heart of Advent. Are you who we're looking for? John gives voice to our hesitancy in the midst of anticipation. John allows us to express uncertainty, even when we live on the other side of the incarnation. We already know that this is Jesus who is coming. We already know that Jesus will suffer and die and be resurrected and ascend. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? That's the question that we ask from the prisons that confine us to a limited concept of God. It's the question that we ask as we continue to build walls of divide with bricks of difference. It's the question we ask from the jails that we have constructed to justify our views of God over and against other people's. Too often, we have a fixed image of how Jesus preached and acted, and that can really limit our ability to get to know Jesus at a deeper level. And John's question calls us to break out of that rut. John lets Jesus tell him whether or not he was the Messiah. For Christians today, this is kind of a settled point, right? Jesus is the Messiah. And we still hope to find Jesus at work in our lives and throughout our world. But our images of Jesus and our understanding of the Messiah, that might be a little out of date. And because of that, that could hinder more than help us in our search for a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus is alive and at work through the Gospels, the sacraments, the church throughout the world. Clara, you know that means that Jesus is here, right?
Jesus is here.
Jesus is here. In addition to Jesus' work in the Word and Sacrament, we too must take up Isaiah's dream and perform the works of mercy as Christ did. There are still poor to be fed, prisoners to be visited, sinners that need to confess, forgiveness that we need to dispense. Recognition takes discernment. So we seek Jesus in all of the places he tells us to look. But we're only going to find him if we're free enough to let him tell us who he is. He most certainly will not be the Messiah that we expected. He will, however, be God's real presence, active in our lives and through us in a world hungry for salvation. This week, I would like you to contemplate John's question with me. Are you who we're looking for? Don't try to answer it. Contemplate it. Don't try to solve it or tie it up in a Christmas bow. Lean into the question. Are you who we're looking for? Lean into the waiting, the wanting, and the wonder. Lean into that so that you might truly hear God's answer. Thanks be to God. Amen.